Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Joseph sends empty wagons with his brothers after he reveals who he is, and they realize what's going on, and he invites them to go get his father and to bring all of their kids and their wives down with them to Egypt because there's five more years of famine. So he sends the Pharaoh's wagons, empty wagons with them. Verse 1 of chapter 46 says, so Israel set out. Israel is the name of Jacob. His name, Jacob, was changed to Israel by God. So Israel set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba, which is just a little ways south of where he was, and he offered sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. And of course, Beersheba was an important place for him. That's where he had lived as a young boy. That's where Abraham had lived. And then verse 2, God spoke to Israel in visions of the night while he was there and said, Jacob, Jacob. He said, here I am. Verse 3, he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt. Man, that's a great promise. If you move somewhere, you want to know the Lord is with you, right? And I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will close your eyes. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob and their little ones and their wives and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. In all, there were 70 people. And they traveled about 250 to 300 miles, traveled to get there. Verse 29, Joseph prepared his chariot and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as he appeared before him, he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a long time. Joseph didn't know if he would ever see his father again. Prisoner, a slave, and now here they are, 22 years. So I think some healing began right there. And their hearts, both of them, as these images are getting dispelled and the feelings and the thoughts, and they're weeping together. And Jacob says, now let me die, since I have seen your face, that you are still alive. My soul is at rest right now. Go ahead and let me die. But the Lord decided not to answer that prayer. He gave another 17 years with Joseph. He had the first 17 years with Joseph in his life, and then he gets 17 more. And Joseph decides to prepare his family for meeting the Pharaoh personally. The most powerful person probably on the planet at that moment is the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he tells them, you know, we'll just read this. Verse 33 of 46 says, when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? You shall say this. Here's what you're going to say. Your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, which is all true, both we and our fathers, that you may live in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is loathsome to the Egyptians. Joseph had been a shepherd. And then Moses, who would come after and help lead the people to freedom, he was a shepherd. And then the king of all kings, Jesus, grew up in Egypt, the good shepherd. So Egypt gets sent the very thing they hate over and over and over. It's important, I think, for any culture to not hate things, because that very thing you hate may be part of your deliverance. 47:10 says, and Jacob, after Joseph introduces his dad and five of his brothers, introduce all of them, he brings his dad and five brothers to Pharaoh. And it says, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And then Jacob gets 17 more years with his son. They're safe. They're taken care of. The Pharaoh is happy to give them land in Goshen. There's not a lot that's talked about over these through chapter 48 as they're living, and Joseph is making sure that everyone gets fed. The Egyptians are about to die, and he has this wisdom of how to keep them alive and gains more land for the Pharaoh. In chapter 49, Jacob calls all of his brothers in and it says, tell them to come. He says, I'm going to tell you what will befall you in the days to come. He prophesies over them. And then he charged them. And he had a vision of his own bones being taken back to Israel. Don't bury me here. That was the charge that he really gave them, was make sure you carry my bones back to Israel and bury them with my grandfather and my father. And when Jacob finished charging his sons, he drew his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. And then it says, Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. Then he commanded the servants, his servants, to embalm his father. That was an Egyptian practice. Took 40 days to embalm someone. Of course, if you look at the history of the like King Tut and the pharaohs, this is a commonly done in Egypt. 40 days for embalming, and there was 70 days of weeping, mourning, that the Egyptians did for Jacob. After the 70 days of mourning, Joseph goes with some of the elders of Egypt and all the family, and they go all the way to Israel with the bones of Jacob, this embalmed person, and they go all the way back there, probably the largest funeral procession for the longest period of time in history. To go that long, days and days and probably weeks to get all the way up there. And then when we got there, they had 7 more days of mourning before they buried him. 7 more days. You got 77 days plus travel and everything else of just mourning for this. Then he gets him in the, puts him in the ground. Chapter 50, verse 15 says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him? They're concerned about their own lives. So they create, looks like, a message, send it to Joseph. And it says, your father charged before he died, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And it says here that, and Joseph wept when they spoke to him, the messengers who gave this message to him. When he hears that, he weeps. Maybe he thought this was a real message from his father and that his father would say those things. I don't know. But you find that Joseph is really touched by this. And verse 18, then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. For am I in God's place? In other words, am I the one to bring vengeance or revenge or anything? No. God does those things. As for you, verse 20, another powerful verse here, great one to underline. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Joseph had a realization at some point in his life that his life was not about him. That's one of the most beautiful things any of us can have. That our life is for something larger than for ourselves. Joseph's brothers didn't get a hold of that one yet. They were still trying to protect their lives and save their lives and create this false narrative, a false message to get to him, so that he would forgive them, so they could be protected. Joseph was so far beyond that. He realized his life was not, it wasn't about him. He recognized, he says it right there, you meant something for evil, but man, God meant something good to happen. That's a beautiful reframing of his past right there. I think, you know what can reframe our past is forgiveness. Right? Yes. Forgiveness reframes our past and it helps change us so that we can see what is real. I think inside, I love this. I think inside every plan and attack of the enemy against God's kids, and the enemy doesn't know this, is code. That is a backfire to that plan. That God's purposes are actually going to come about even if the enemy gets what he wants. How about Jesus, right? The enemy says, if I can just kill that guy, if I can just kill him, get rid of him. I mean, no, I don't want that kingdom message. Get rid of him, kill him. He does. He's successful. And guess what? Life for everybody. Forgiveness for everyone. The blood of Jesus, the enemy's success, turned into God's greater victory. The enemy never wins. He cannot, especially ultimately. He is a loser. I mean, you have read the end of the book. I have read the end of the book. I've read about the cross, right? All the way through, the enemy, ultimately, he loses and he loses and he loses. And often we can lose with him if we don't see the redemptive power of God in every single situation. What if every single one of us, and this is really, Jesus said this in Luke 9:23, if you're going to come follow me, you got to take up your cross and follow me daily. You have to die to yourself daily. The way to live is to die. So interesting how God does these things. But it's dying to myself. And if I die to myself, I can see clearly. If it's not about me, all of a sudden I can serve those around me. And I'm not angry with those around me. I'm not frustrated with those around me. But if it's about me, I am frustrated with all those around me. I'm angry with those around me. I'm angry about my past. I'm angry about everything. It's not fair. It's not right. But man, if I die daily and live to him, then those around me aren't a cause of frustration. They're an opportunity for ministry. They're an opportunity for life-giving. They're an opportunity to protect and provide like Joseph was doing. He said, I'm going to provide for you. God meant it for, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good, and I will take care of you. Incredible. So Joseph, as we have been reading, has gone through such an incredible process of being favored and having this special coat, having these dreams, and then the exact opposite happening for 13 years. Everything was the opposite of his dreams. Everything was the opposite of the words he had been given. And he had an opportunity in those times to either get bitter or to get better, to forgive or to hang on to this and to exact vengeance or revenge on his brothers when he had the opportunity. He had to work through all of those things. And then he had to stay righteous when he was kept given the opportunity to be unrighteous. And he held on to God, he forgave, and he allowed God to work inside of his heart and to change him into a different person. And he could see then with God's perspective. He could see what was really going on. And I've realized that, you know, that Joseph level of authority that he was given had a whole lot to do with the Joseph level type of accusation and mistreatment that he endured. When he got through all of those things, God could promote him to do things that were beyond what anyone else had done. And you know what? For you and I, each of us, all of our journeys are unique. They're different. The way you grew up is going to be different than the way I grew up. The parents that you had, the experiences you had, the ways you've been treated or mistreated, it's going to be different for every single one of us in here. The hardships, the difficulties, the challenges are different. They're unique for all of us. At the same time, says of Jesus that in every way he was tempted, right? Like we are. The difficulties that we go through, Jesus went through. And he's given us a way to live the way that he lived, to respond the way that he responded. And I think that all of our challenges, all of our difficulties are opportunities for us to forgive and to be thankful. Let me add that other part as part of the reframing. If we can forgive and be thankful, our past will be completely reframed. When you look at Joseph's past, he was not dwelling upon what had been done to him. He was looking at what God was doing through him for others. He wasn't fixated on what had happened in his past. And God wants you and I to live in the exact same way. He wants us to forgive and to be thankful, and then he'll reframe all of our lives that we've lived. Pretty amazing. And then you can live like Joseph and go, hey guys, even like he told his brothers, I don't even want you to get angry at yourself for what you've done. I don't even want you to be upset about, I don't want you to feel any condemnation. I don't want you to feel any shame, because God was about doing something that was the opposite of the evil plan that the enemy sowed in your heart to do to me. God had a hidden code in there that was going to disrupt and backfire on everything that the enemy intended. And I get to be a part of the victory. I get to be a part of the provision. I get to be a part of what God was wanting to do and is doing as he looked around. Here's the result. People's lives are saved. And this is the very thing that God wants to do with you and I. It's when you talk about forgiveness, when you talk about letting go, when you talk about getting free of the poison of bitterness, it sounds really easy sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it really isn't easy. Sometimes it really takes the Holy Spirit's help. Sometimes it takes our choice and then the Holy Spirit's power to free us of that unforgiveness. You know, in John chapter 20, after Jesus had been raised from the dead and he appears to his followers who were hiding, fearful, he said, look here at my hands. Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I see. So he shows Thomas, he shows the guys, look here, look at my hands, look at my side. Here's a hole in it. Look what's been done to me. He could have said it that way. Look what's been done to me. And then he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. That's the first message he has after he rose from the dead. Is look what has been done to me. Look at my past. Here's my past. Look at the injustice that's been done to me. I've got a hole in my side. My forehead's dotted with holes from a crown of thorns. I've got holes in my wrist where I was crucified and in my feet. And now here's my message to you. Forgive. Whatever has been done to you, if you forgive, you will be forgiven. And then he does this. He breathes on them. You can read it, John chapter 20. He breathes on them. That's odd. It isn't when it's the Son of God and the breath of God coming over your whole being. And he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is before Pentecost. Pentecost wasn't for a while yet, a few weeks yet. But Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit and then forgive. Forgive. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit's help to release and to forgive and to let go of bitterness that's been done to us. And you and I have him, he's accessible to us. We can have access to the forgiving power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to let go. Where have you been mistreated in your life? If you can think about it. Some maybe can't think of anything. Others have a list of a dozen things. How have you been done wrong? What circumstances in your life do you feel were really unfair? What difficulty in your life seems like other people don't have to face? Whatever any of those things are, the Lord gives us opportunity right now to reframe it. Let's bring it to the cross. Let's just bring that to Jesus right now, every single thing. Lord, we take those images that jumped in our mind, the maybe it's a feeling or an emotion that was attached to that that I went through. Maybe it was while I was growing up. Things I didn't have that everybody else got to have. Opportunities that other people had that I didn't get. Mistreated, abused, taken advantage of, stolen from, ripped off, falsely accused. We bring every one of those moments and seasons or years, and we bring them to you, Jesus, right now. And we choose to forgive right now. We even say it. I forgive them. I forgive you. I forgive you. I let go. I let go. I let go of vengeance. I let go of God getting them back as well. I let go of what feels like a stained past because of what they've done. I let go of harboring feelings and bitterness that I've just let live in on the inside of me. I let go of it. I give that to you, Jesus, the one who is offended more than anyone else on the planet, done wrong to more than anybody else, crucified, and you forgave. You said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We ask right now that you would help us to do that very same thing. We say, Father, forgive them. We forgive them. We even ask that you would forgive them. And we let go. And we speak even now a blessing on every one of those people, every one of those faces, every one of those organizations. We say, be blessed in Jesus' name. Lord, may your presence come to their room. If they're still alive, Lord, that you would minister life and health and wholeness, that your kindness would surround them, so much so that they would repent even. They would turn to you and live. But we speak a blessing, and we let go. Will there be nothing in me of bitterness, nothing of unforgiveness, or we could say we've forgiven totally, totally forgiven. And now I ask you, Father, and I ask you, Jesus, to fill and heal those spots in every single person in here where they were wounded in any way, where they were hurt in any way. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the greatest artist, and you're also a framer. You're the carpenter. I see you put a new frame around our past in Jesus' name. As we forgive, and now we start to say, thank you, God. Thank you for getting us through those hard times. Thank you for helping us endure difficulty. Thank you for giving us the power to forgive. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for those moments that helped me grow in you and get closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for our past. And as we forgive and as we thank, Lord, I ask, Lord, for every single person in here, when they think back on their life, they think back on the difficult situations, it would be framed in such a way they can go front and center in the room because it's a beautiful thing. Look what God did. Look what he did. Look what he did. Look what he did in me for this moment that we're standing in right now. Look what he did in us for this day. Look where I'm sitting right now because of what he's done in me, for me, through me. And part of it with the setup was that situation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I speak a blessing on every person in here, Lord, that from here forward, we would forgive easily and quickly. And if not easily, you'd help us to let go, that we would not hold on to or harbor ships of bitterness in our harbor. There'd be no, Lord, let every one of those ships sink, and that we would never allow harbor for bitterness in our soul, in our spirit man, that we wouldn't hang on to something into tomorrow that happened today. We would let it go and forgive and give it to you and entrust you and be those who speak blessing, who love and bless those who persecute us. Those who hate us, that we love them instead. Lord, I pray that would be this new nature on the inside of us, a nature we don't deserve, but you've purchased for us to own and have, that you've given to us, made us a new creature, a new creation. Lord, thank you for your health that comes from this right here. Health in our bodies, health in our soul, health in our spirit, health in our minds. And Lord, I ask for brand new eyes too, to see things differently than before in Jesus' name, even right now, to see our past differently, to see the future differently, to see our present right now differently. Yes. That thanksgiving would continue to arise in us for the rest of our lives. We could stand before you and say, I'm not holding on to anything against any one person, no one. That we could say, like you said, Jesus, the enemy's coming, but he's got nothing in me. Lord, may that be said of all of us here. It doesn't matter if the enemy comes, he's got nothing in me. He's got no place to land. He's got no safe harbor to park his ship of bitterness. Got no place. We are free. In Jesus' wonderful, powerful, beautiful name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.